You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, Old Oak Division, in Cape Town. I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask of everybody, Skulk, and that is, how are you finding South African results season? In other words, companies coming up with trading statements and results that are listed on the JSE Securities Exchange. What do you think?
I think let's start off with the word mixed, because I think you either doing very well, or you're missing. And we've seen the likes of a trading statement of Woolies today, definitely beating, and market reacted extremely favorable. And a company like Spar, not exactly the same industry, but we know that they do have, Woolies Food versus Spar, and they missed. And, the miss really cost them, one stage over 14%. I think they closed it the day down over 12%. But I think something I learned from you, Lindsay, I think you said it so many times. You don't get.
I sort of gasped a bit then, because no one's ever learned anything from me, especially not someone as prominent as Skulk Lowe from PSG Wealth. But anyway,
It's not something that I haven't done. But I usually take my financial statements or trading updates, and then I work from the top to the bottom. You like to scroll down to the outlook, and yes, you start with the outlook, and since you've actually said that, I'm doing exactly the same. And when you look at the outlooks, we've seen it today in the UK inflation. I mean, how was that?
11.1%.
Yeah,
that was a shocker. I thought it would have gone down a couple of points, but no.
Correct. And for those who's not following the UK inflation, I mean, the previous one came on year 10.1%. Consensus forecasted that it should go up a little bit, but only to 10.7%. And it came out 11.1, and clearly starting to show. Firstly, we know the inflation, and sort of showing that. The questions are starting to pop up. Interest rate hikes really having the right effect on all of the markets? To get back to your question, when I look at the results that come through, lately, you can clearly see the effect that higher interest rates are starting to have on not just companies in South Africa, but companies globally. And I think that's something that's I'm going to be monitoring, again, not just for South African companies, but going to be monitoring in the next 3 to 6 months, because we're not going to have this hefty conversation on tech companies. But I really looked over the past 2 days, all the biggest tech companies, your Apples, your Googles, your Microsoft, all those companies, and I try to find the golden thread, specifically looking at the outlook. And yes, you can see that the effect of the higher interest rate environment is now, at the speed of light hitting these companies. And I think you just be careful. I think we've seen a massive sort of a dead cat bounce in the market over the past, let's call it 6 weeks, in global markets. And just be careful. I think that's the one message I want to send out there, because when I look at these results, things are not all fun and games out there.
So you think that this the dead cat bounce, for anyone that doesn't know, means that you can drop a cat off the Empire State Building and it might bounce a couple of times, but it doesn't mean it's not dead. You're not suggesting that the market's dead in the short and medium term, are you? You're just saying that don't get too enthusiastic. Is that your message?
Yeah, and I'm going to be writing about this. I don't want to give too much away, but the one thing that I worked on over the weekend, which is a lovely graph, Lindsay, it's actually unbelievable. Where you take the US specifically, I looked at the US and took the S&P 500. Where I look at every time the US went inverted, and there I use the spread between the 10 and the 2 year yield. Every time they went inverted, just to find out did we ever seen a market where it actually indicated a bottom in the market when the yield curve was still inverted? And surprise, surprise, you know, if you go back 25 years, it's never given you a bottom in the market. In actual fact, you know, if you bought every time the market was really inverted or the yield curve was inverted, you would have seen quite a torrid time, you know, for the next, you know, sometimes 2 to 3 years. So we know, I mean, the yield curve is still inverted. It's actually now going deeper, you know, it inverted. We know that, we just said inflation is clearly not under control yet. Interest rate, therefore, you know, might not see the reaction we're all hoping for. And you know, to try to call bottoms in this market, you know, looking at the history, again, I don't have a crystal ball to look at the future. You know, this time might be different. To have four David dangerous words. But this time might be different. But, you know, when you go, you know, look at your history books, you know, when the yield curve was doing what it's currently doing, and we were still heading, you know, for that recession, the actual recession, you know, you might just want to just be very selective, not just on what you're buying, but also when you're buying.
Well, that's where fund managers like yourself distinguish themselves from the people that just buy. And go with the flow, because what you've got to do, obviously, is to pay, you know, pay attention to the indices. But on the other hand, you say, well, this one is a little bit beaten up. This one is a little bit overpriced. So I'm going to sell this one. I'm going to buy this other one. And that's evidenced by the retail sector of the JSE. You mentioned the trading update from Woolies, and the share price immediately was 4.5% higher this morning on the opening. And then Spar came out. Spar's a great company. It's a really good company. I frequented Spar when I lived in South Africa, and I really liked their offering. It was a sort of a combination, a smaller combination of sort of Pick and Pay and Woolies. I don't know. It was just a sort of like a hybrid edition of those two. And yet the share price, as you quite rightly said, fell at one stage 13.5%, 14%. It's closed around 12%. We'll come to that later. Why is it doing so differently to Woolies? Woolies, of course, being an international operation with the Aussie business either doing well or doing badly. But you've got to look down at that sector, the retail sector of the JSE, Skulk, and say, which one or which two do I like, and which ones will I discard?
Yeah, so let's look at, before we look at Spar. I mean, let's just look at you know, the main, you know, economic data that came out, because that sort of gives you insight to your question.
The retail sales, in other words.
Yeah. The retail trade that went down 0.6%. Now, firstly, we've just spoken about the UK inflation and retail sales clearly showing us exactly what I just said, that the high interest rates is clearly having a very negative effect on these retail sales. Because remember, you know, we previously had a year-on-year growth of 2.1% in the retail trade, SA retail trade. And the consensus was that we should come in around about, let's call it the 1%, you know, growth mark, yet we came down close to 1%. So we didn't go positive, we actually went negative. And they actually attributed, you know, most of these, you know, let's call it declines, you know, came from primary for food, beverages, and tobacco. Now, you know, and then they'll drill down to the things that fell less. But I mean, the moment you talk about those three things, food, beverages, and tobacco, I think Spar. I don't necessarily think Woolies, because Woolies, yeah, do have a food, you know, they and beverages department, but they also got, you know, cosmetics, they've got clothing, which is tend to be a little bit more resilient. You wouldn't think that, but tend to be a little bit more resilient. Your typical, let's call it Mr. Price, you know, is sometimes a little bit more resilient for these, you know, declines. But be that as it may, back to Spar, they. Immediately, I mean, they started off the report where they just said, well, you know, against the backdrop of a constrained consumer, lower economic growth, and subdued business confidence, you know, that's what it came down to. That is why they actually struggled, specifically in South Africa. And I have a similar you know, message when they talked about the Ireland and Southwest England. We just talked about the inflation from the UK point of view. So there we know they struggled. You know, Swiss, they're picking up, but they sort of, you know, carefully optimistic and similar to Poland. But I think the biggest reason, you know, for to answer your question, you know, I think it still lies in the dividend. People like their dividends. They buy their shares, and there's a lot of fund managers out there that want to see dividends grow.
You know, they don't need to. So you saw Spar's dividend do anything but grow. In fact, it was halved, I think.
Exactly. 50%, yes. So when you look at exactly a year ago, Spar came out with a dividend of R8.16 per share. Exactly a year later, they actually came out with a dividend of R4 per share. So it's less than half what it was exactly a year ago. And we know what the environment looked like between that period, 2020 and 2021. So this is not good for Spar. Again, disclaimer time, I'm a shareholder of Spar. It's a company that I do find attractive at current levels price-wise. But I'm going to go back. I mean, we currently got the analysts looking at this, and we're definitely going to go run through this.
Just give us an idea, Skalk. I mean, okay, so you're going to say the reason I like Spar, one of the reasons I like Spar, apart from the fact it's a well-run company in a relatively defensive industry, but I like the dividend as well. Now the dividend has been halved. You're going to say to yourself, okay, let's re-look at this. Do we like the company enough to stay with it, despite the fact we're going to getting a dividend of 50% less than we were? What is the reason for this? You can look at it two ways. You can say, well, their balance sheet's not looking so good. On the other hand, you can say they have allocated this capital somewhere else, i.e. expansion. How do you look at it?
So firstly, I mean, for us, it was a comparison, and you know, I'll be the first to admit we got this one wrong, because ultimately we didn't want to go into Woolies, because we like another clothing retailer, and you know, when you look at the food side, you know, you've pretty much got Pick n Pay, ShopRite, and Spar, and when you look at Spar, I mean, they're well diversified across the globe. They've been successful thus far, expanding to Ireland, expanding to West England, expanding to Switzerland and Poland. So, you know, it gives you a bit of a diversified and a bit of a round edge. I think another thing which we find attractive, their balance sheet wise, they're looking, you know, healthy, you know, very similar to the other. But I mean, you look at the PE, I mean, let's just compare the historic PE, you know, between Spar and ShopRite. ShopRite trading at a P close to 25 times, and Spar is trading at 14 times. So that I find attractive. But like you said, I mean, suddenly your 4.3% historic dividend is going to halve, and it's going to be in line with ShopRite, and you need to ask yourself serious questions. As we stand here, I mean, we still, you know, working through the numbers. I mean, so what I'm telling you, and it's something we'll definitely be looking at. But for myself, I do find Spar attractive. So the positive is it's well diversified, not just within South Africa or within the borders of South Africa, but also outside the borders of South Africa. The one negative, and I've been saying this on this podcast for many times, the one negative which I've really feel that they were extremely slow on is online shopping. I mean, yeah, to all the listeners, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you can, you know, with the press of a button, order, you know, food from Woolies Foods with Pick n Pay ASAP. I mean, but Spar is the one that's been lacking. I know they've been mentioning that they're gonna be entering the market, but you know,
it's a bit late, isn't it?
Maybe a bit late. Yeah,
it's definitely a bit late.
And I think that, in my view, is most probably the reason why we've seen the figures we've seen today.
Okay, I'm sure they'll catch up. Okay, the dollar rand is 17.28. The British pound against the rand, 20.47. Euro rand, 17.94. Euro dollar is 103.85. And the British pound against the US dollar, 118.50. It was close to 120 at some stage in the last 24 hours, which is such a turnaround from the 103.30 we saw after that disastrous mini budget. Gold price is doing nothing, but that's good that it's doing nothing rather than going down, Skalk, from your point of view, because the gold price is 17.75. The platinum price is also unchanged at 10.14. Palladium down $20 an ounce, or nearly 1%. What about the other commodities? All sorts of things going on geopolitically, but commodities really behaving themselves. Okay, we've got a little bit of a weakness in the energy sector. West Texas crude down 2.1%. Brent crude at $92.11, down 1.9%. Natural gas prices have fallen 3.25%. And if we go down, wheat down 2.6%. But from a South African perspective, it's nice to see coal 3.2% higher if you like fossil fuels. Steel prices up 2.4%. And that's about it. And iron ore this morning in the Far East closing at $97 per ton. And that's quite a turnaround from the low 80s just 2 weeks ago. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, look at this thing. This has fallen 2%. The yield has fallen 2%. I mean, people, we talk about the equities markets, but suddenly people going into safe havens. It's 3.73%, which is 6 and a bit basis points down for the yield. And the South African 10-year, let's have a look at that, going in the other direction with 6.5 points to the upside for the yield, 10.32%. As for Bitcoin, yeah, it's doing nothing. 2.8% weaker, 16,529. Any other stories you're focusing on, Skulk?
Yeah, I just want to get back to your moving back to safe havens. I mean, that's you're getting the nail on its head there. I mean, you know, typically, and people, we've had this discussion about, you know, a risk-off environment. Now, a total risk-off environment to me isn't money moving from equities to bonds. That's just sort of a migration, if you want to, or portfolio moves. When there's a total risk-off, you know, and we've seen it in 2008, we've seen it this year, where people just boldly sold their equities, they sell their bonds, and they move into cash, and specifically dollar cash. And like you just said, you can see there's clearly some I don't want to say risk takers, because we see a movement today, S&P 500 down 0.5%, NASDAQ down 1.4%, while the US 10-year yield is down 2%. And when we say down for the listeners out there, you know, that's good. That's positive. I mean, they're actually buying the US 10-year
yield. Yeah, there's a reciprocity. It's a reciprocal arrangement. When the yields rise, then the bond market falls, and vice versa. So what we've seen today in the United States is actually a good thing. The falling
while
yield.
The dollar is still slightly softer, while the dollar today is slightly softer, it just shows us there's some movement back into the market. We've seen it in equities. We're now seeing it in bonds, and clearly you can see people are moving out of cash, which we've seen in the massive free fall, for so to speak, you know, in the dollar index. You know, moving from the 113, 114 levels, currently trading literally just above the 106 levels. Other things I've seen, you know, we've seen the Tencent report. I mean, that was massive. I mean, I'm not going to go too deeply into this, but you know, nice beat. You know, when we look at Tencent, the operating profit, you know, was well over what was estimated 35.4 billion won. The operating profit came out at, you know, 51.6 billion.
That
won.
Is a big
massive beat. Yeah, and you can drill it through to the adjusted nets. You can look at the net other gains, and all, you know, if that, you know, areas that actually, you know, beat. Tencent did very, very well, and I mean, what a day for Naspers and Prosus.
We'll come to that in a second, yeah, because I mean, that tells you everything about Tencent and how, I don't know how they're going to get out of this relationship and all that nonsense we heard of a couple of weeks ago, where there's a China state wealth fund or something buying it out. Not going to happen, I don't think, Skulk, and that's evidence. But yeah, a really good performance. And everyone was saying that Alibaba would be the outperformer, but no, Tencent comes to the fore.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. But Alibaba had a good day. I mean, yesterday, I mean, I monitor both, and I do, you know, own Naspers in local portfolios and Baba and offshore. And I mean, slightly weaker today, but I mean, Alibaba had a massive day yesterday. It was, I think it was 11 or 13%, you know, in the green today. So I think there's just a bit of sanity creeping in today.
Okay, on the upside on the JSE today, Alphamin up 11.2%. Prosus, the aforementioned, up 6.1%. Naspers up nearly 6%. Woolies up 3.8%. Tungela 3.4% higher. On the downside, Spar getting a complete clobbering, down 12.75%. Capital & Counties down 4.5%. Anglo American PLC down 4.2%. Datatech down 3.8%. Northam's down 3.75%. Any other shares there, Skulk?
No. I mean, and none of those shares you just mentioned was any exit story.
No, I was going to ask you that, but I know that they're not. Yeah.
No, and it's big companies. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Spar, Anglo American, Northam. I mean, this is all companies that you find in, let's call it your larger cap, not just large cap, but larger cap, you know, companies. So this is major moves in big companies. So yeah, let's just monitor it. It wasn't a good day for resources. We've seen in the latter part of today that there was a definite sell off in most of your resources. You mentioned Anglo American. I mean, Billiton, you know, it was down close to 1%. You know, Impala Platinum down 3.3%. So, you know, you had quite a hefty drop in your resources. But again, I mean, they had a beautiful time over the past, let's call it, 3 weeks. And you know, sometimes you need some profit taking as well.
Yes, you do. Talking about resources, let's have a look at the indices and maybe start with resources, if you would, and also give us value traded.
So resources today, you know, they closed today down close to 3%, down 2.9%. Let's continue with the sectors. I mean, industrials, with a little help from Naspers Process, had a much better day, 0.6% in the green. And financials also 0.21% positive. The JSE all share closed today 72,608 points. That was down 54 basis points, while the top 40 closed the day at 66,222 points, also down 45 basis points. Value traded was not too shabby, I must admit. This is now, you know, pretty much the fifth day in a row where we had a north of 20 billion day. Not necessarily the repeat of yesterday's 29 billion, but got very, very close, 26.1 billion traded today.
So I wonder why that is. I mean, is that locals or international buyers? What's going on there? Because it has been a theme recently. It's come off its knees and now sort of edging its way to heights that we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, Lindsay, I mean, we've seen the recent, you know, movement in resource stocks, you know, not just in South Africa, but globally. And we are still, you know, renowned and well known for our resource stocks. So that might be one of your reasons why we've seen some value trade go through the JSE. And also, never forget, I mean, Naspers, primary listing still on the JSE. And when you've got a movement like we've seen today, you know, in Naspers, naturally you will see let's call it value that goes through the market. And remember, this is not just the first day that we've seen a movement in Naspers Process. We've seen quite a few of these type of days, you know, for both these counters over the past week. So I think that might be one of your reasons why we've had, a very, very solid trading week for the JSE. I think JSE might be smiling, you know, with these volumes going through the market.
Very good indeed. A little bit soggy on Wall Street. Give us the three indices that we track, please, Skulk.
Yeah, the market is all over the place. Let's start with the weakest performer. Tech stocks is really taking a clobbering again, but not your 1.4% down. It's now currently only down 1.25%, currently trading at 11,216 points. S&P 500 also down 50 basis points, trading below that magic 4,000, you know, points mark. So let's see if it ends this way. I know that it's been fighting, it's been clawing back, you know, way back above the 4,000, and now it's, you know, trying to defend that. But the interesting thing is Dow Jones, that is actually in the green. That's positive 0.2%, currently trading at 33,653. Giving us a clear indication, you know, of a migration. We just talked about portfolio moves going from bonds to equities and vice versa. But the clear trend over the past few weeks was a definite movement, you know, back into value stocks. And when you got these type of movements.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? It was always, if the market was down, it would the Dow would be less down, and then the S&P would be more down, but not as much down as the NASDAQ. And that says that the growth stocks are out of favor. This couple of days of this week, up until now anyway, has been the other direction. So a lot of play between the value and the growth stocks. I wonder who's going to win, Skulk.
Yeah, I know where I'll put my money.
Go on then, tell us.
Again, we've got the history books to fall back on. I mean, we've seen, you know, this underperformance, you know, it's called value versus growth, and they are specifically used the MSCI value versus MSCI growth. And last time we've had this type of underperformance was that beginning 2000s where we was sort of the end of a big tech run. We've seen a massive tech run over the past 3 years, and yeah, I don't want to necessarily say we're going to see a repeat of the 2000 or dot bomb implosion, because it was a totally, totally different environment. Then it was companies that didn't make profits. but, you know, I would be very careful. As I mentioned, I went through all these tech companies, the past 2 days. And, none of them actually had a very rosy outlook for the next year. So then you need to ask yourself the question, whenever you look at a PE, there's a P, which is price, the E, and the earnings. And if the earnings are going to come under pressure, your price might too. So, yeah, I think I'll definitely still rather position myself in the value stock environment, because they did underperform over the past 5 years. And I do think that our underperformance is looking quite attractive, when we eventually, again, see the recovery in the market.
Scott Glow is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town, Old Oak Division. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Scott will be back with me same time next Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.